As the festival season is coming up, the Vijayadashmi festival and the festival of lights, Diwali. So we want to absorb ourselves in hearing the pastimes of Lord Ram. The purpose of our conducting this Ramkatha session is not just to sing from Ramayana, but to learn the lessons from Ramayana, what we can apply in our lives and make our lives better, more useful. And I'm not a charismatic speaker or reciter of Ramayana in a very musical tone. You may have heard Ramayana in a very musical format and very attractive, very charismatic form. But our purpose is not just a recitation of Ramayana in a nice melody, but to go dive deep into some of the messages of Ramayana, which we can apply in our lives. And I'm speaking not for anybody, but I'm speaking for myself. So the main purpose of speaking here is for myself to purify my heart. And in the process, if it helps anybody, that will be great, right? That's extra credit. So we'll start with invocation prayers, and we'll do an extra recitation of some of the prayers for invoking the mercy of Lord Ram, Mother Sita.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namo Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Mangalam Bhagavan Vishnu Mangalam Garuda Dvaja Mangalam Pundarikaksha Mangalayatano Hari Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindayo Namo Namah Namah Pankaja Nabhaya Namah Pankaja Maline Namah Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajanghare Lokabhiramam Ranarangadhiram Rajivanetram Raghuvanshanatham Karunyarupam Karunakarantam Shri Ramachandram Sharanam Prapadye Janaksuta Jagajanani Janaki Atishe Priya Karuna Nidhanaki Take Jugapada Kamalamanavamu
जासु कृपा निर्मल मति पाव सिया राम मैं सब जग जानी करो प्रणाम जोरी जुग पानी मनोजवम मारुतुल्य वेगम जितेन्द्रियम बुद्धिमताम वरिष्ठम वातात्मजम वानरयूथ मुख्यम श्रीरामदूतम शरणम प्रपद्ये श्री गुरु चरण सरोज रज निज मन मुकुरु सुधार वरणौ रघुवर विमल जस जो दायक फलचार बुद्धिहीन तनु जान के सुमिरो पवन कुमार बल बुद्धि विद्या देहु मोहे हरौ कलेश विकार सियावर राम जय जय राम मेरे प्रभु राम जय जय राम जय श्री सीताराम जय श्री राधेश सो अगेन थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर बीइंग हियर दिस सैटरडे इवनिंग सो बिफोर वी एंटर इनटू श्रीमद् रामायण I would like to offer my dandavats to all my teachers, my Diksha Guru, my Siksha Gurus, from whom I have learned whatever I am able to speak. My dandavats to Hanuman Prasad Podarji, who gave us the translation to Valmiki Ramayana, Sri Ramcharitmanas. My heartfelt obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, who came to the Western world to deliver the message of Vedic scriptures, to enlighten the world with this message, who brought Bhakti Devi in the Western world, and who taught us how to read and understand the scriptures in a systematic, in a more logical way. My obeisances to all of you who helped me keep progressing, keep staying on the path of bhakti. So a little recap of what we discussed last time. So last time we started a little bit before we enter into Sundarkand, and we discussed few of the pastimes when all the monkey army has assembled on the shore of the ocean and everybody is trying to see who can cross over this ocean to go on the other side to find Mother Sita. And we learned some lessons from the mood and the service attitude of Hanumanji. So first was his service attitude for Lord Ram, not considering anything for his comfort, his bodily conception. So completely free from bodily conception and absorbed in the service of Lord Ram. And next we learned about the mood of humility. Not considering ourselves to be great, that I am better than anybody, I am able to do better service, but being humble, considering everybody equal and just considering ourselves to be the instrument. And then we learned about the enthusiasm, the determination and the positivity. He is sure of success of finding Mother Sita, not based on his own strength, but considering it to be the work of Lord Ram. So it has to be successful. And he thinks I am just the instrument. So having that positivity in our service attitude. And then the next one we were discussing was the shelter of the holy name. Always taking shelter of the holy name. He is again and again remembering Lord Ram. Bar Bar Raghubhir Sambhari. So he is always remembering Lord Ram to execute any work. So we have discussed up to here, and then this is where we are entering into Sundarkand, right? This is where the Sundarkand starts. Lord Ram, Lord Hanuman is ready to go cross the ocean, to go on the other side. And he climbs up on a mountain. So there is a mountain on the shore of the ocean. So Hanumanji climbs up on the mountain, ready to jump from the mountain to cross beyond that ocean. So before Hanumanji jumps from there, a couple of further points to discuss and to learn from it. So we already discussed he is always remembering the name of Lord Ram. So that is one point. When we execute any work, our focus is more on just remembering and considering, contemplating on the work, the outcome of that work. So Hanumanji is not contemplating on the outcome of that work. He is sure of success. He is just remembering the name of Lord Ram. So for example, when we travel in a train or in a plane, we may have a lot of luggage, right? So we have a lot of luggage, and when you sit in the train or in the plane, you just keep your luggage once, and then you are carrying your documents, maybe some passport or some plane ticket. So we keep checking our passports, our tickets again and again, make sure it's there, because that's more important. Even if I lose the luggage, I will survive, but I cannot risk losing my passport or my ticket. So we are always again and again taking care of the passport and ticket, but not paying too much attention to luggage. Ek bar rakh diya, ho gaya. So we have just kept it once. So same way in this material world, when we are executing our task, not keep contemplating on the task itself, not keep contemplating on the outcome of the task, but always remembering who gives us the strength to carry out that task. And that is the holy name. To keep remembering the Lord, keep remembering the holy name. So that is another principle which we can learn from Hanumanji here. Bar bar Raghubhir Sambhari. And when we take shelter of the holy name, what happens in exchange? In exchange, Lord gives the guarantee of full protection. So he took shelter of the holy name, and in exchange, Lord Ram completely took care of Hanumanji. Not that one single hair on Hanuman's body was harmed. Bal bal Raghubhir Sambhali. And then as Hanuman climbs on that mountain and jumps from the mountain, there are many animals, the birds, or the small plants or trees on that mountain. And as Hanuman jumps from that mountain, all these animals, this plant, get uprooted from the mountain, and they also feel like they're jumping with Hanuman to bid farewell to Hanumanji. So Hanuman is flying from that mountain, and all these plants and animals and birds, they also go with Hanuman to some distance, saying farewell. They come back to their respective places. And as Hanuman jumps from there, says, Jimi amogh raghupati karbana, ehi bhanti chaleo Hanumana. How did Hanuman go? Jimi amogh raghupati karbana. As Lord Ram shoot an arrow from his bow, Hanuman went like that as the arrow of Lord Ram. Jaise Bhagwan ne apna baan chalaya ho, Hanuman ji Ram ke baan ki tarah wahan se nikle. Another great message. So Hanuman is saying, I am just the arrow of Lord Ram. Now arrow doesn't have its own thinking or willing. Arrow is completely in the hands of the archer, right? Whoever shooting the arrow, it completely depends on that. If the arrow will hit the target or it will miss the target, It depends on who shoot that arrow. So Hanuman is saying, I don't have anything in my control or in my hand. All depends on Lord Ram. It's Lord Ram's mercy that I will be successful, and it's Lord Ram's work, it has to be successful. So there is no hankering, no lamentation, completely being dependent on the mercy of Lord Ram. So when we execute any task, either it's our worldly responsibilities, worldly duties, or any devotional practice, devotional services, whatever we do in our life, the principle to remember is considering ourselves as a puppet in the hands of Lord Ram. That's why the sages, the sadhus generally, they say, whenever you hear him saying, they will say, Jaisi Bhagwan ki Ichha, whatever Lord desires. Ram ki Ichha se hum kal Vrindavan mein the. Ram ji ki Ichha hogi to kal hum yahan par jayenge. So everywhere, the prefix is, agar Bhagwan ki Ichha hogi. If Lord Ram desires, if Lord Krishna desires, we will do this. So Hanuman is also in same mood. I am just the arrow in the hands of Lord Ram. Now it says, Ehi bhanti chalev Hanumana. Jimi amog raghupati karvana, tehi bhanti chalev Hanumana. He went like the arrow. Wo baan ki tarah chale. Have anybody seen the arrow walking? When we say, wo chal ke ja rahe hai, he is going. Means somebody is walking or somebody is running. Have you seen any arrow running or arrow walking? Everybody may have seen, there are many serials, Ramayana, Mahabharata, they shoot the arrow, they show how the arrow is just flying. But arrow doesn't have feet. It's just a side note. So arrow doesn't have feet, but arrow is walking, arrow is running. There are many other things. Sometimes people kind of make fun of the things written in scripture. That's why I'm making this point. That arrow doesn't walk. Arrow doesn't have feet. But there are many things which doesn't have feet, but we use in our language the word chal raha hai. A very common phrase is, sometimes if you go to somebody's house, hey, kisi ke ghar pe jao to log poochte hain, kya chalega? Thanda chalega ke garam chalega? Is that tea or cold drink walking? But we say, thanda chalega ke garam chalega? And sometimes people say, oh, abhi tak to nashta chal raha hai. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, abhi to nashta chal raha hai. Right? We use these terminologies, but doesn't mean they have feet, but it's just as a way of conveying the message. So here, Hanuman went like the arrow of Lord Ramachandra. And as Hanuman went from that shore of the ocean to go on to the other side to find Mother Sita, Sita Devi is bhakti. She is the representation of bhakti. And bhakti is on the other side of the ocean. Hanuman ji is on this side. And when Hanuman want to go from one side to the other side of ocean to meet bhakti, to find bhakti, generally there are many obstacles. So same thing, when we want to progress on the path of bhakti, there are many obstacles. Don't assume the path of bhakti will be easy. It's easy as well as it's hard also. It depends on our attitude. So there are many obstacles on the path of bhakti. So same way Hanumanji faced many obstacles. And the first obstacle was, as he started going from the ocean, the first obstacle came was the Menak mountain. Menak Parvat. What is this Menak Parvat? This is a golden mountain. Mount of gold. The ocean tells this Menak Parvat. See, Hanuman is flying above me. I would like you to go up, raise up the surface and give resting place to Hanuman. Now, a little history of this Menak Parvat. See, in the earlier time, the mountains also used to have wings. And mountains could fly from one place to another place. But eventually the problem happened when these mountains were flying. They could land anywhere and they could just destroy the whole village, the city, or the town. And the sages, they went to the devatas, please rescue us. And then all the devatas, Brahmaji appointed Indra to fix the problem. So Indra went with its vajra and cut off the wings of all the mountains. So earlier the mountains were also chala. Now they became achal. Achal means unmovable, non-moving. That's why we call the mountains as achal. So earlier mountains used to fly. So when Indra is cutting the wings of all these mountains, this Menak Parvat, it flew and took shelter in the ocean. Please hide me. Please give a resting place. I will just stay here forever, but I don't want to lose my wings. And at that time, Pavan Dev helped force this mountain to get inside the ocean. So Pavan Dev put force, the wind pressure from the top, so that the mountain can go merge into the ocean. And now this mountain is thinking, see, Hanuman is the son of Pavan Dev, wind god, and I have the debt towards wind god. So I should repay my debt. This is the opportunity for me to repay this debt. So Menak Parvat comes up in the mood of giving, paying off the debt. So that is the mood of actually a saintly person. If somebody does any favor towards us, the attitude is to repay for that favor. If somebody gave you a glass of water, one wants to get rid of that debt. There is two words, Kritagya or Kritagna. So Kritagya means who remembers the debt, who remembers the favor anybody has done, and you want to repay that, do something in exchange. And the Kritagna is, no matter how much you do for somebody, it doesn't budge a single inch. It says, so what? This is his duty. He should serve me. Right? That's Kritagna. So here, Menak, he want to pay off the debt. So that is one side of the story. But from the point of view of learning the lessons from this, so Menak Parvat, it's a mountain of gold. And that's the first obstacle on the path of Hanuman. So whenever we move towards bhakti, there will be tests on our path. The first test is, Lord will give you the opulence, the distraction with the opulence. Are you sure? You want to come to me? Here, some little opulence, a nice house, nice car, nice family, nice job, opportunity to go on a vacation trip. Do we get distracted? Do we give up our regular practice, regular sadhana, and completely get absorbed into the mood of enjoyment? So first obstacle is opulence on the path of bhakti. And what did Hanuman do? So as first of all Hanuman is going, हनुमान ते ही परसाकर पुने कीन प्रणाम राम काज कीने बिन मोहि कहां विश्राम. So Hanuman paid obeisances to this Menak Parvat. Hanuman te ही परसाकर पुने कीन प्रणाम. So Menak Parvat offered, please take rest on me, please stay here for some time. But Hanuman touched that mountain. So that is gold mountain, first of all. It represents opulence. So Hanuman, looking at that opulence, he touched it. And somebody may thinking, see, what kind of person is he? He is touching the, first of all, he want to get that gold and he is paying obeisances to the opulences. So there are many different kind of people in this world. One category of people is, somebody artificially renounces everything And if somebody gives some Lakshmi, and person artificially says, oh, I don't want to touch it. So there was one sadhu. So few sadhus went to somebody's house. He has invited some sadhus. And after feeding them nicely, so there is a trend of giving some dakshina. So that person, the host, he is giving dakshina to all the sadhus. So some sadhus took the dakshina, put it in the pocket. He went to another sadhu. One sadhu is sitting, and he, as he is offering some dakshina, the sadhu says, no, what are you doing? I don't touch. I am a completely renounced person. I don't touch it. I don't touch money. And this person said, okay, maybe this sadhu baba is very renounced person. So he just paid obeisances, and as he is moving to the next one, this person called, where are you going? I said, I don't touch it. Doesn't mean you don't need to give me. So you can tie in my cloth. So there were other few sadhus. One sadhu said, what is it? If you want to take it, what is the problem in touching? You are saying tie in the cloth. This cloth which we are wearing, and this body actually itself is also a cloth. This body is nothing but a cloth for the living entity inside this body. Vasamsi jiranani yatha vihaya. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as we give up the old clothes and accept the new clothes, same way at the end of this life we give up this body and accept a new body. So this body is nothing but a covering for the living entity inside. It's just a cloth. So that is artificial renouncement. No, I don't want to touch. I am sadhu, I have nothing to do with money. Falgu renunciation. And there are other category of people who cannot give up money. You ask anybody, see, we are having this nice program, nice festival, lot of funds needed, please donate something. And there are many people who may have this problem leaving money from their pocket or from their hand. So once there was one very conjuice person. No matter how much somebody approaches him, please give some donation, give some charity. This is the verdict of the scriptures, that one should never give up yajna dana tapa. Right? The austerity, the charity, this principle should never be given up. So please, sometime you should give charity. It's in your benefit. So this person, after being told so many times, finally he decides, okay, I will also give some charity. So he is invited to the next program, and he carries one coin in his hand. First of all, so heavy heart. Oh, I have to give some charity. Something, I have to give up some money. So he is carrying this coin in the hand and holding tightly. Goes to the program. All the program is going on. He has not given it yet. He is still thinking, maybe I will give at the end. So he's holding on to it. And at the end, before leaving, he finally thinks, okay, maybe I should give up. With heavy hand, heavy heart, he opens up the hand. Because he is holding so tightly this coin in the hand, because there's so much sweat in the hand. It says it's all wet. And he says, see, you cry so much. I cannot let you go. See, you are crying, you want to stay with me. How can I give you? So he again puts it back in the pocket. So there are different type of people. Some people, falgu renunciation, artificial renunciation. Some people so much attached. No matter what you tell them, they don't want to participate in any charity. And here, Hanumanji, when he touched the mountain, it's not that out of the greed. That, oh, see, so much wealth now, maybe I should capture this. He touched the mountain out of respect, considering it to be Lakshmi Devi, the consort of Lord Narayan, and paying obeisances. See, so he touches it and just refuses. No, I cannot stay here. I don't want this. And he just pays obeisances. So at the time of Lord Ram also, when Lord Ram did a yajna, he offered so much charity to all the sages who was assembled there. So he offered them gold and clothes and so many other things and land and everything. So the sages touched it as a reciprocation of accepting it, but then left it there, that we don't need these things. So you should have them, but they just, as a token of acceptance, touched it, paying obeisances, and just leave it there. Same way, Hanumanji touched Mainak Parvat as a token of appreciation, paying obeisances, considering it to be the property of the Lord, Lakshmi Devi. And he ready to move. And Mainak Parvat is gold. What do you say gold in Hindi? Sona. Break it up. So, na. Don't sleep. So Hanuman saying, I don't want to take rest. Ram kaj ki ne bina mohe kaha vishram. I am going to do the work of Lord Ram. I cannot take any rest. Until I finish the work of Lord Ram, I don't want to take any rest. And if we apply the same principle in our lives, when we are executing any service, it's not that you don't take care of yourself and you are asked to work 24 hours, but it's just a little priority that how much service attitude or the enthusiasm or dedication we have to execute the work of the Lord. Sometimes people say, abhi Ram kaj karenge, kaam kaj karen. Here it says Ram kaj. Hanuman is saying Ram kaj kije bina, mohe kaha vishram. So if you tell people you should engage in the work of Lord, the Lord, people have many excuses. We have many excuses. We are so busy. We have our family life. We have our occupation. We have to take care of the kids. We have to take care of the house. So abhi apna kaam kaj kare ke Ram kaj kare. So what is the difference in Ram kaj and kaam kaj? What is the difference in the work of Lord and our worldly duties? So if we are executing our worldly duties by bringing the work of Lord Ram, by bringing Lord Ram into that, that same duties which we are doing, that becomes Ram Kaj. It's not that there is anything separate we have to do. So if you are taking care of your work, your professional life, considering it, Lord Ram will be very pleased if I do this work nicely. Whatever I am earning, ultimately I am going to utilize it in maintaining my house, maintaining my family, and helping the temple with some services. So Lord Ram will be very happy. And doing your work in that spirit, taking care of the house, taking care of the children, this is Lord Ram's property actually. This is not my property. Lord Ram has given me in this, in my life. So let me take care of them nicely. So Mataji is cooking the food at home. So that Kaam Kaj can become Ram Kaj. Cooking the food with the attitude, with the service attitude, I'm going to cook this and offer it to the Lord. Lord Ram will be very pleased. And when I feed that to my children, my family, they will get the maximum benefit from this. Cleaning the house, that become Ram Kaj. Let me clean the house so nicely, there is no dust. It is the house given by Lord Ram. It's the temple of Lord. And let Lord Ram not find even a grain of dust here. Let me clean the clothes so nicely that Lord Ram is pleased seeing all these nice clothes. Nicely clean clothes. So all our work, all these family responsibilities, if we align with the service mood, by always remembering the Lord, that same Kaj Kam actually becomes Ram Kaj. So Hanuman is saying, Ram Kaj kije bina mohe kaha vishram. So he is not bewildered or he is not influenced by this glamour of this opulence, this stone or the mountain of gold. He doesn't get stuck by this opulence. Sometimes people get stuck by the wealth or stuck by the opulences. And as Hanuman is ready to leave, so he moves little further distance and the next obstacle comes. So on the path of bhakti, there will be many obstacles. And we have to keep moving forward by remembering the Lord. Please help me. Please help me not get distracted from these things. Let me stay focused on my ultimate goal. And as Hanuman moves forward, the next obstacle comes is Sursa. So who is Sursa first of all? Sursa is actually, so when we are moving towards the Lord, there will be many people who will test us. This material nature, which is Maya Devi, she is going to test us. All the different in charge is Durga Devi. She is the fortress of this fort, Durga. Durga means Kila, the fort. And Durga is who is the superintendent of this fort. And when we want to leave the service of Maya and want to go in the service of the Lord, Maya Devi is not going to leave its faithful servant so easily. So there will be tests. So the next test comes in the form of Sursa, and she is sent by the demigods, Devi Devata. So they ask her to go test Hanuman. Will he be successful in this? Will he be successful in meeting Bhakti Devi or not? And Sursa represents Prashansa. Sursa. And the meaning of Sursa, Surasa. If you break it up again, Surasa. So people find so much nectar in the worldly pleasures. That is rasa. Surasa is even better than the worldly pleasure is, you know what pleasure? The pleasure of praise. Somebody try to praise you. Somebody try to glorify you. That is surasa. So some people get distracted by getting the opulence. If they don't get distracted from that, ultimately they get caught up by the glorification. Kuch log padarth paake atak jate hain, kuch log prashansa paake bhatak jate hain. So Sursa represents glorification, and Sursa is standing there opening big mouth. So that is the tendency of people who come to glorify you. Prabhuji, you are so great. So this prashansa, this glorification is ready to devour us. Our nature is like a balloon. See, in a balloon, as soon as you fill little air in the balloon, what happens? Balloon leaves the ground, gets up. And then we get puffed up by getting praise. Vah. So hava or vah, it's just the opposite. So balloon gets filled up with air, with the hava se bhar jata hai. Hum log vah se bhar jate hai. Somebody says, vah Prabhuji, you are so great. You are singing so nicely. Oh, you speak so nicely. Mataji, you are such a great cook. Again, immediately, the chest is filled up. Yes, I am very great. Finally, you understood my greatness. Finally, you recognize my worth. It took you so much time. And this Sursa is ready there to devour in the form of Prasansa. And when does the glorification happen? When the glorification comes in two ways. Either somebody has lot of opulence, then somebody glorifies you. Wow, aapke paas kitna kuch hai, kitna bada ghar. Wow. So we change the wow into wow. Right? It's a small difference. Earlier it was wow, now it's wow. Wow, such a big house. Wow, such a nice family. Wow, you have such a high paying job. So when somebody has a lot, either the glorification comes that time. Or when does the glorification come? When somebody completely renounces. Oh, you are such a renounced person. You don't have even a single cloth. You are maintaining yourself in a one dhoti. You don't have a place to live. You are such a nice devotee. You don't care for anything. So either somebody has a lot, or somebody gives up completely. The glorification comes in both cases. So here Hanumanji has just given up this all the opulences which came in the form of Mainak Parvat, the gold mountain. Immediately the Prashansa came. And this glorification is ready to devour. And what does he say? Aaj surham mohe deena ahara. So now today the demigods have given me nice food. And Hanuman is saying, Sunat vachan kahe pavan kumara, Ram kaj kari fir main aavo, Sita kar sudhi prabhu sunavi. So he is paying obeisances to Surasa, please let me go. Please don't devour me, please let me go. I am going for the work of Lord Ram. Let me find Mother Sita, give the news to Lord Ram, then I will come back. Then you can eat me. And she says, no, I want to eat you right now. I don't want to let you go. And then when nothing worked out, when she is not ready to let go, then finally Hanuman says, okay, then open your mouth. Let me come inside your mouth. So the another tendency represented here is the tendency of competition. So Hanuman, so Sursa opens the mouth. One yojan. Hanuman becomes two yojan. Then she opens four yojan. Hanuman becomes eight yojan. She opens 16 yojan. Hanuman becomes 32 yojan. Then she opens the mouth 100 yojan. So this katha could have gone like that. Sursa ne do yojan ka muh banaya. Hanuman ji char yojan ke ban gaye. Sursa ne aath yojan ka muh banaya. Hanuman ji 16 yojan ke ban gaye. Sursa ne 32 yojan ka muh banaya. Hanuman ji 64 yojan ke ban gaye. So this katha will just continue, keep going like that. So this is a tendency of competition. Sometimes even on our devotional path also, we get into this tendency of so much of competition. How come he is better than me? I can do better. How can he get, he is getting more glorification than me. And this competition tendency come. Oh, he is doing this, I will do better than this. He arranged this program, I will do a bigger program. So this whole competition things keep going on. Which is nothing but pulling us down. And what did Hanuman do? When Sursa made her mouth bigger as 100 yojan, Hanuman became like a small mosquito. Entered into the mouth of Sursa and came out. The Sursa had made a 100 yojan mouth. And Hanuman immediately became like a small mosquito, small size. As Hanuman is entering, even though Sursa want to close the mouth, 100 yojan mouth, it will take some time by the time she closes. So Hanuman entered and came out. See, I kept your, I respected you. I entered into your mouth and I came out. So Hanuman is representing a very great quality here. The quality of humility. It's not about making ourselves big and big, proving ourselves to be the biggest, bigger. I am more superior. Hanuman, if needed, can become as big as a mountain. Parvatakara, right? We heard that last time. As soon as he says, Ram kaj lagitava vatara, Hanuman immediately rose up and became, assumed the size of a big mountain. I am ready to do the work of Lord Ram. And when needed, Hanuman can become a small, so small, just as a humility. If somebody is ready to devour us with all these distractions, either it's opulence or it's a glorification, if we can just become humble enough and stay small, oh, I am nothing, I am very insignificant. I am just trying to serve the Lord a little bit to my capacity. There's nothing to my credit. So first of all, speaking to myself, whatever if I am speaking, this is from scriptures. It's nothing that I compiled something. And whatever I have learned from others, so others have spoken, I heard and I'm repeating the words. So what is to my credit? I'm just taking from somebody and passing on. So if we can keep that mindset, that attitude, keeping ourselves, considering ourselves to be the lowest, then we can stay on this path. Otherwise, these opulences, this glorification, these are all the distractions on the path of bhakti. Rather than getting in competition, just thinking, okay, let somebody want to do. Okay, we are here to help. whatever is needed. Even in our preaching activities, sometimes this competition tendency comes. See, my preaching program is better than your preaching program. If people come here, they will learn better here. So all that competition things go on. But attaining, trying to get into the mood of Hanumanji, staying humble. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamay mam janmani janmaneshware bhavatad bhakti rahetu kitvai. I don't want any followers, I don't want the association of the beautiful woman, no opulences. All I want is life after life, the service for the Lord. Mam janmani janmaneshware bhavatad bhakti rahetu kitvai. So keeping ourselves in that mood. And sometimes people are into the competition mood. Everybody becomes giving the logic. Nobody want to kind of agree with each other. People keep giving logic. Why we want to do this way or why we want to do that way. With the logic, yes, we can prove ourselves better. With the argument, we can keep our point in the front. But at the end, it doesn't satisfy any purpose. Once one child came home from school. And child is learning some new things at school. Some logic. He comes to home. Mother says, Beta, you came home. You will be tired. Let me give you something to eat. So she brings two laddu in a bowl. Please eat this laddu. And the son, he is completely into the mood. See, I learned something new. I want to showcase. I want to tell you. And he says, I learned the logic, Nyaya Shastra, and I can prove these are not two laddus, these are three laddus. Mother saying, no, okay, I will listen to you. First eat laddu, you will be tired, hungry, please eat first. I will listen to you. No, let me first prove this. How many laddus are this? Mother said, two laddu. So I said, no, I can prove these are three laddus. So count, mother says, keep hand on the first laddu. One. Very good. Keep hands on the other one. Two. The child immediately said, two plus one, three. See? Where after one, it will be two. So she counts from the other side. One. Then put hand on the other. Two. See, one plus two, three. That's the logic of math. One, two. Two and one together, it's three. So mother is kind of, okay, I don't care, just eat the laddu. She says, no, I proved this is three laddus, not two laddus. And the father was listening. Father was also sitting next. The father says, your mom, she is uneducated woman. She doesn't know anything. I agree with you. I know these are three laddus. Your mom doesn't know anything. See, these are three laddus. I will eat one, your mom will eat the second, the two laddu, and then the third laddu you can eat. So we can do the logic, we can keep arguing, but at the end, what is the result? We can keep arguing with each other to prove our point, but at the end, if we don't gain anything, if we don't gain the cooperation of others, then it's not a winning, it's a losing. So Hanumanji passing two obstacles in the form of opulence, in the form of the fame, the glorification, the competition attitude, he moves further. As he moves further, the third obstruction comes. The third obstacle comes. And what is the third obstacle? It's Singhika. Actually, before Hanuman actually left from Sursa, so after he had defeated Sursa, as he is ready to leave, so Sursa finally appears in her original form. She is the mother of the Nagas. And she tells Hanuman, I was appointed by the Devi Devatas to test you, to see if you will be able to successful in executing the work of Lord Ram. Now I have tested you. I am convinced that you will be successful. Ram kaj sabah karahu tum bal buddhi nidhan. Ram kaj sabahu karahi tum bal buddhi nidhan. So she says, execute all the work of Lord Ram. This is my blessings. This is my blessings, and I have a full confidence in your strength and in your intelligence. So when she said, Ram kaj sab karahi, Hanuman is thinking, I'm going to go on the other side, and the only task I have been given is to find Mother Sita and bring the news back. Now, what is this all the work? This is only one work. To find Mother Sita, bring the news back. And Surasa is saying, Ram kaj sab karahi. So what is the all other work I have to do? Then maybe Lord Ram will give me the intelligence, or Lord Ram will give the indication what else I need to do. So Hanuman moves forward, moves further. And then the next obstacle comes. Next obstacle is Singhika. So she is a demon is staying in the depth of the water, and as somebody is crossing up in the air, she catches on to the shadow of the flying objects from the air, catches the shadow and bring them down and eat them. So this Singhika, the third obstacle, represents envy. So first obstacle was opulence, second obstacle was fame, glorification, competition tendency. The third obstacle, if somebody is able to cross beyond this, the third is envy. When somebody tries to become big, other people become envy. And what does the envious person do? They want to bring the person down. If you tell somebody, oh, he is very nice, he is such a nice devotee, making so nice progress, he is doing nice sadhana and reading nicely, and if somebody has envy in the heart, what will say? Yeah, I know, but... Right, this if, but, prantu, kintu, prantu comes. Yeah, I know, now he is doing, earlier, you know earlier what he used to do? He used to go to casino, you know? He used to go to bar. He used to have this bad habit, that bad habit. He used to get up at 8 o'clock. So this envy tendency is to pull somebody down from, if somebody is becoming little advanced. And another nature is envious person doesn't show themselves. From outside, it looks very modest, gambhir. So this Singhika, which represents envy, she is living in the depth of the ocean, in the water. And this ocean is like modest, gambhir. And the envious person is living inside. The person same way, from outside, maybe looking very modest, dheer gambhir. But in the heart, in the mind, the demon of envy is there. And with that envy, we want to bring others down. And as this Singhika is trying to catch the shadow of Hanuman to bring it down, Hanuman says, you can catch somebody, bring that person down if that person doesn't have the hand of Lord on his head. I have mercy of Lord Ram on my head. Mere sar pe Bhagwan ki chhaya hai. So tum meri chhaya kya pakdogi? So Hanuman immediately comes and kills Singhika and moves forward. So if we want to cross beyond all these obstacles on our path of bhakti, be it opulence, be it in the form of praise, glorification, this envy, the only way we can keep moving forward towards our goal is by the same attitude which Hanumanji has, the attitude of shelter of the holy name, the attitude of humility, keeping ourselves lowest among everybody, thinking ourselves to be the insignificant one, thinking ourselves to be an instrument in the hand of Lord Ram. So as Hanuman passed these obstacles, finally he reached on the other shore of the ocean. And as Hanuman reached there, he is seeing this big city of Lanka. From all sides, so big, kind of Durg, the Killa. And it has all big, big, nice houses, everything made of gold. And it's glittering in sunshine. So Hanuman reached during morning time, daytime. And that time it's all glittering, gold. It looks so opulent. And all these big, big houses, It from outside it looks like the temple of the Lord. Hanuman is amazed looking at everything, all the opulences of Lanka. And here one more point to consider is, when everybody was considering their strength to go on the other side, Angad had told that I can cross the ocean, go on the other side, but I am not confident that I will be able to come back. So now if you imagine, if somebody is capable to jump and cross once, why he cannot jump and cross again? The same jump. So why Angad is saying, I will be able to go on the other side, but I am not confident about myself that I will be able to come back. What is the reason? He is saying, because his reason was, I will go on the other side, but with all this chamak-damak of Lanka, all these opulences of Lanka, I don't have confidence in myself that I will not get distracted. Get captured by all these opulences. And Hanuman was selected because no matter, he will get distracted by looking at all these opulences. So Hanuman is looking at all these houses. He thinks all these houses as the temples of the Lord. See, devotee, any building you see, in your mind you think, kaash ye Bhagwan ka mandir hota, agar ye building ko Bhagwan ki seva mein use kar sakte. So he is observing the whole city and he is thinking, how I can deliver the residents of this Durg, this Lanka. Hanuman is like Guru. Jai 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 Hanuman Gosai, Kirpa Karo Guru Deva Kinai. So what people pray to Hanumanji? Hanumanji is like Guru. So Guru comes, so consider this Lanka is like the material world. And people get distracted living in this material world with all these various opulences. And Krishna, Lord Ram, he sends his representative in this material world to bring the people out of these distractions, to take a step towards the Lord, to come back to the Lord. So Lanka is like this vast material ocean, this material world, and Hanuman has gone to give the mercy of the Lord. And he is thinking, how can I deliver the people living inside? And same way when Prabhupada came to US, Prabhupada departed from India, from Calcutta, in Jaladuta, in a cargo ship. And as he landed here in US, as he was standing on the port, he is looking at all these buildings, like huge, huge buildings, so much opulence here. And Prabhupada is thinking, all these people with so much opulence living here, they are so much distracted, so much into the engrossed in enjoying all these opulences, how will I deliver these people? And as he is roaming around, he is looking at some building, some empty church and all that, he will be thinking, how can we acquire this building and make it into the temple of the Lord? So he is carrying the same mood what Hanuman has. Hanuman is standing there outside Lanka, the shore of the ocean, looking at all these buildings, considering it at the temple of the Lord. And Hanuman decided, I will enter in Lanka, not right now, at night time. See, if Hanuman could have entered in the daytime in Lanka, know what will happen? Or what could have happened? So our real identity is not what we show ourselves in public. Our real nature is shown how we behave in private. So Ravan in daytime, he seemed to be a very nice guy. He will be doing a lot of puja paath, reciting the Vedas, doing yajnas. So that's why sometimes people say, sabne Ravan ka shakti dekha, Ravan ka bhakti nahi dekha. Kai ka bhakti? Daytime he is posing himself as a big devotee. But at night time he is completely different. As it's night time, what does he do? He is intoxicated, he is drinking wine and enjoying with the woman. Not one, two, I don't know how many. So, the same way, if Hanuman could have entered in the daytime, he could have seen Ravan doing all this yagya and all that, he will think, oh, Ravan is such a nice person. And he may have a developed friendship with Ravan. But Hanumanno's real nature can be seen in night time, in private. What, how a person does, how a person behaves in private. So he decided to go in night time. And at night time, as the evening came, as it became dark, Hanuman became, Hanuman decided to enter into Lanka in a very small size. Masaka saman rupakari kapidhari lankhi chalayo sumir narhari. He became small as a mosquito and he started moving towards the gate of Lanka. Lanka hi chalayo sumir narhari. He is remembering Lord Ram and moving into the Lanka, moving towards Lanka. And as he approached the gate of Lanka, there is a gatekeeper. Next obstacle. So there is a gatekeeper, another demon is standing there. Her name is Lankini. See, Ravan at every place, as in any army, around the border, so army has many checkposts, Nakabandi, and there are some guards there. So Ravana has many checkposts, different places. So his first checkpost was in Dandakaranya forest. His next checkpost was in the ocean, all these Singhika demoness. Next checkpost is at the entrance of Lanka. Another checkpost is in Ashok Vatika, where he has kept Mother Sita. But the point to think here is, at all the checkposts, sabhi nakabandi pe, the leader he is appointed is a female. Dandakaranya, Shrubnakha. In the ocean, Singhika. At Lanka, gate of Lanka, Lankini. In Ashok Vatika, Trijata. So all are women.
Before that, Tadka.
And before that, another place, yes, it was Tadka. One more. So, all women, why? To distract anybody coming. That is the strength the women have, to distract the person entering into. So this Lankini, as soon as Hanuman is ready to enter into Lanka, he's made a small form of a mosquito. And as he's entering, Lankini saw it. Even though it was a very small mosquito size, Lankini saw it. Nam Lankini ek nisachari, so kaha chaleu mohi nindari. So Lankini immediately came. Hey monkey, where are you going? You are disrespecting me without taking permission from me. Where are you entering? Janahi nahi marmasat mora, mora ahar jahan lagi chora. So you don't know my real identity. Who am I? How are you disrespecting me and trying to enter into the Lanka? I have been positioned here to take care of all the thieves entering into Lanka. So she is calling Hanumanji as thief. Mora ahar jahan lagi chora. So how are you entering as a thief into Lanka? So Hanuman says, are you out of your mind? You're thinking I am the thief and you want to protect Lanka from me, considering me to be the thief, and you are guarding the biggest thief in the world. First of all, Ravana is the biggest thief. He has stolen my mother Sita. You are guarding the thief and you are stopping me from entering. So Hanumanji, he gave one punch to this Lankini. And with one punch, this demon, she fell down vomiting blood from her mouth. And as she got up after some time, Tat mor ati punya bahuta, dekhyu nayan ram kar duta. So now she is, her intelligence has restored. After getting one punch from Hanuman, after vomiting all the blood, so her intelligence is restored. Now she is saying, I am very fortunate that I am able to see the messenger of Lord Ram face to face. And then she tells the history. When Brahmaji gave the benediction to Ravana, Brahmaji had told me while leaving, he had appointed me here as the guard of Lanka, and he had told me one indication that when one monkey will come, one vanara will come, and he will make you unconscious by his one punch, you should understand that is the whole destruction of Lanka. All these demons will be destroyed that time. And that will be the time for you to come back from this service. So my time as a service as Lankini here is over. Now I will be going back to Brahmalok. So she is Apsara from Brahmalok, given this service here. And before leaving, she says, Tat swarga apavarga sukh dareyu tula ek ang tul natahi sakal mili jo sukh lav sat sang. Tat swarga apavarga sukh dhari tula ek ang. If we keep all these opulences of this world, all these enjoyments of this world, all these pleasures of this world, the happiness of this world, sukh, and apavarga. Apavarga is liberation, moksha. If we keep all this happiness of this world, even the liberation on one side of the measuring scale, tula, tulanatahi sakal mili jo sukh lava satsang, it cannot be equal to even a moment of association of saintly people. So that is, who is saying? Lankini is saying. So Lankini is saying, it's my fortunate, good fortune that I have got the association, your association for a moment. And the happiness I am deriving with this one moment of association cannot be equal to all the happiness of this world, all the opulences of this world, or even the liberation. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarve Shastre Kaya, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoya. So all the scriptures tell only one point. Associate with saintly people. Associate with saintly people. Even a moment of association, lava matra, that is the ultimate benediction of the life. And we were discussing in the last session, what is considered as being fortunate. Fortunate is not having opulences, having a good physique, good wife, good children, good house, good car, a nice job. Yes, those are good things, but that is not the consideration of being considering ourselves to be fortunate. What is real fortune is to get the, first of all, to get the human form of life. And attaining the human form of life, the better fortune is to get the association of devotee. And getting that association again and again and again is the best fortune. So this Lankini is saying, I am very fortunate having got your association, your satsang, and it's my fortune that I am able to meet Lord Ram's messenger face to face. So Parvesi Nagar ki jay sab kaja. So she is also saying, now you enter. I have full permission. I have my blessings on you. Now you enter into Lanka. Kije sab kaja. So she is also saying, do all the work of Lord Ram. Hanuman is again thinking. See, first she also told me, do all the work of Lord Ram. Now she is also saying, do all the work of Lord Ram. What is this all the work? All I know is, find Mother Sita, give the news to Lord Ram. What else I have to do? So Hanuman moves, enters into Lanka.
What does Lankini represent?
What does Lankini represent? In the form of what anarthas we were discussing?
Yeah, whatever analogy you are drawing.
So Lankini also represents in the form of either we can say envy or
ignorance.
Yes. Thank you. Because she was completely under ignorance, thinking I am protecting Ravana, I am entering, I am protecting Lanka from any thieves. Considering Hanuman to be thief and protecting Ravana, who is the biggest thief. So Lankini, we can say, represents ignorance. not knowing our real identity, real position. Sometimes we are working for somebody as who is not in favor of devotional service, who poses disturbance in execution of devotional service. So as Hanuman enters into Lanka at night time, so he decides to go into all these big palaces of Ravan to find Mother Sita. So he is going to all these various palaces, and he is first of all bewildered looking at the opulence of Ravana. He has so much opulence. He has put all the Devi Devatas also into his servants. All these Devi Devatas were actually in the prison house of Ravana. And they were serving Ravana. Somebody is doing Jhadu Pocha and Ravana's palace. Somebody is doing some other thing. So all these people are there and so much opulence in all these palaces. And Hanuman is looking at all these various opulence. He sees many women he sees there. And he's trying to find who is Mother Sita. And he considers none of these can be Mother Sita, because all these women are not in a proper position, not in a proper condition, not covering themselves properly or in an intoxicated stage. So these cannot be Mother Sita. And first of all, Hanuman thinks, what am I doing here? I'm a brahmachari. And I'm looking at all the faces of all these women. As a brahmachari, I should not be doing this. But when he thinks, I am executing the work of Lord Ram. To execute the work of Lord Ram, even if I have to take any trouble in following my
dharma,
my principle, religious principle, I have to execute in service of Lord Ram. So sometimes devotees take so much risk, even going to such places which we should not be going. Sometimes devotees go even to pubs and bars, the beaches where people are in a inappropriate condition. They go there to give the holy name, doing the kirtan, just to execute the higher principle. Sometimes we have to justify on our religious practice, our religious principle. So Hanuman Singh, I am celibate. I should not be looking at all these women, but I am executing the work of Lord Ram. So he is looking for Mother Sita, finding her through all the palaces. He is not able to find. Then he reaches the palace of Mandodari. Mandodari is a very gentle lady. Very sober. She is sleeping. And Hanuman looks at her face. Looks at the beauty of Mandodari. And first at one instance, he is convinced she must be Sita. She is so sober, she is so beautiful, maybe she is Sita. And then as Hanuman looks closely, carefully, he reads the line on her forehead. He says, no, she cannot be Mother Sita. He reads the line on her face, on her forehead, and he knows that she is going to be widow very soon. So she cannot be Mother Sita. This lady, she is going to be widow. And finally he comes out. He's saying, I have searched everywhere and I am not able to find Mother Sita. Where can she be? And as Hanuman is going in the sky, looking at all these various houses, he sees one particular house. And this house has the marks of Lord Ram, the weapons, Vaishnava marks. Rama Yudha Ankita Graha Shobha Barni Najai Nav Tulsika Brindatah Dekhi Harsha Kapirai. He saw one house which is marked with Vaishnava symbols, with the symbols of Lord Ram. It has Lord Ram's Dhanush Vaan, bow and arrow marked on the house, the walls of house. And it has many nice tulsi plants growing. Nav Tulsika Brindatah Dekhi Harsha Kapirai. Hanuman became very happy seeing this. Hanuman Singh, this is the city of all the demons. In this city of demons, how come there is one sajjan, one gentle person, gentleman here? So what is the indication of a gentleman? Whom do we consider a gentleman? See, today's world, people consider somebody a gentleman, somebody is nicely dressed, suited, booted, coat, pant, tie, sophisticated speaking. Hello, how are you? What are you doing? If somebody is able to speak nicely, hey, he is such a gentleman. what is the indication or what is the characteristic of a gentleman? So Hanuman is describing who is a gentleman. Who has taken shelter of Lord Ram, who is remembering Lord Ram, he is a gentleman. He is a sajjan. Lanka Nishichara Nikar Nivasa Eka Sajjan Karvasa. This is a city of demons. How come there is one sajjan? Tehi Samay Bhavishan Jaga. At that time, so it was a early morning time finally. And at that time, Bhavishan woke up from his sleep. And as he woke up, what is Bhavishan saying? Ram Ram Tehi Sumirin Kina. Hriday Harsha Kapi Sajjan Chinha. Again, Hanuman is saying, yes, he is a sajjan. As Bhavishan is waking up, getting up from his bed, he is saying, Ram, Ram, Ram. So when we get up from our morning, in the morning, from sleep, from our bed, we tell people, we should cultivate this habit, getting up from the bed, chanting the name of Lord. Jai Shri Radha Kunj Bihari. Jai Shri Radha Krishna. Jai Shri Sita Ram. Right? This is how we should be waking up. Getting up from the bed, waking up from the sleep. And Hanuman is very happy hearing these words coming out from the inside of that house as Bhavishan is waking up. So Hanuman is saying, I should meet this person. Who is this person? I should meet him. He looks like a Vaishnava, a gentleman, a real gentleman. And Hanuman says, I don't want to go in my real identity. Let me make up, assume some other form. And go test him. Is this another test for me? Or is this an illusion? Or if somebody is real a Vaishnava here. In this kingdom of demons. Vipra Rupa Dhari Vachana Sunai Sunata Bhavishan Uthitah Aai. Hanuman went in the form of a Brahmana. Assuming the form of a Brahmana. He went at the gate of Bhavishana's house. And he started talking about Ram. And hearing the words from his door, Bhavishan came. And Bhavishan paid obeisances. Bhavishan asked him, who are you? Please tell me, who are you? Kito Mahari Dasa Mahakoi. Are you the servant of Lord Ram? Are you the devotee of Lord Ram? So that is, Bhavishan is inquiring, are you some devotee of Lord Ram who have come here to give me Lord Ram's mercy? More hriday prita ati hoi. Hanuman says, no, I am not the devotee. I am such a lowest person. I am lowest among lowest. Again, Hanuman's humility. Bhavishan is saying, are you the devotee of Lord? He's saying, no, I am not a devotee. I am a very low class person. Before Hanuman said, I am a low class person. As Hanuman said, I am not a devotee. Bhavishan says, are you Lord Ram himself then? Who has come here to give me his mercy? To take me in his shelter? And as Bhavishan said, Hanuman said, no. I am such a low class person, even my name should not be heard or chanted in the morning. Even somebody hears my name, I belong to such a class, if somebody hears our name, he doesn't get food all day. I belong to that class. It's Lord Ram's mercy that he has taken me in his shelter. And he considered me as his servant. And he has given me service. I am an insignificant servant of Lord Ram. This is the introduction which Hanuman gives to Bhavishan. I am not a devotee of Lord Ram. I am an insignificant servant of Lord Ram. And Bhavishan is saying, see, I'm very fortunate to having got your darshan, having seen you, getting your association. I'm very fortunate. And you don't know in what situation, in what conditions I live here in this Lanka. Sunuh pavan sut rahani hamari, jimidasanehi muh jeeva vichari. Please hear how I stay, how I live in this Lanka. As the tongue live inside the cage of these teeth. Jimmy Dasni Muh Jeeva Bichari, as the tongue live in the imprisonment of these teeth, this is how I live in this Lanka. Here all the demons are here and I'm just living. So what does the tongue do? The tongue does so much service to the teeth. Whenever we eat, if something gets stuck in the teeth, the tongue is always going there, trying to get something out. It's serving, massaging the teeth always, serving the teeth, doing all that service, and in exchange, tongue is always fearful of getting bitten by the teeth. Sometimes tongue can be bitten by the teeth, even though she is rendering so much service, massaging the teeth. So Bhavishan is saying, exactly this is how I live in this Lanka. See, I am trying to serve, give good counsel to Ravan, but always at a risk of being kicked by Ravan. This is my situation here. And Hanuman gave him a mantra. And later on, actually in Hanuman's prayer this comes, Tumhara mantra Bhavishan mana. So Bhavishan took your advice. So what is the advice Hanuman is giving? So Hanuman is saying, see, you think you are living as a tongue in the imprisonment of this teeth, but you know what is the capacity of the teeth, of the tongue? So if somebody has a pain in the teeth and it goes to the doctor, who speaks to the doctor? There's a tongue who will convey the message. It's not the teeth who will say, oh, I'm having pain here. The tongue is saying, see, this teeth is hurting. And when the doctor comes and tongue complains about any teeth, doctor can immediately take out that teeth. So this is tongue's capacity. This is how much the tongue can do. So Lord Ram, the biggest doctor of this world, is going to come here. And if you go to that doctor, complain about all these teeth, he's going to remove all this problem. So Hanuman gave good advice to Bhavishan, that take shelter of Lord Ram, all your problems will be erased. All your problems will be rectified, solved. And then Hanuman tells the purpose of his coming, that I have been trying to find Mother Sita everywhere. I went to all these various palaces to find Mother Sita, but I'm not able to find. And then Bhavishan says, how come, how in the world you even assumed Mother Sita will be in any of the palaces? So since Ravana has brought Mother Sita here forcibly, she has not accepted any opulence of Lanka. And Ravana has finally kept her in Ashok Vatika. So she is staying under a tree in Ashok Vatika. Either it's a sunshine or a rain or something, she's just sitting there. And then Bhavishan tells the way how to go to Ashok Vatika, how to find Mother Sita, how to see Mother Sita there. So in our path of, in our journey towards bhakti, to find bhakti, to bring bhakti in our life, there will be many obstacles. But if we are determined, if we take shelter of the holy name, complete dependence on the Lord, requesting, praying to the Lord, please save me from falling down because of all these opulences, all these anarthas in my heart, please protect me. That is our only shelter. Taking the shelter of the holy name. So this is a lesson we can learn from Ramayana. Always being dependent on the Lord, always taking shelter of the holy name, showing the humility, the service attitude with humility, not with pride. So then we can be successful in finding bhakti, in bringing bhakti in our life. So we'll stop here today and we'll continue Hanuman's meeting Mother Sita next time and what happens next and what more we can learn. So we'll stop here with a little bit of kirtan. Okay, let's...
Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram Patita Pavan Sita Ram. Raghupati पति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन राघव राजा राम पतित पावन राम राम
सीताराम लक्ष्मण मान की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, पिताय गौर प्रेमानंद की जय।